Archives and Beyond Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Bernice Alexander Bennett, and I want to welcome the callers and chatters to research at the National Archives and Beyond. This show will provide individuals interested in genealogy an opportunity to listen, learn, and take action. Now, I want to first of all thank everyone for hanging in there, because this has been one interesting evening, folks. I lost power, went somewhere else trying to regain power, and just could not get on. And so I really want to thank all of you tonight. I'm also hoping that my guest will call in. I have her on hold, and perhaps she has been trying to call in and couldn't get in, but she will do that eventually. Now, one of the things I want to say to all of you, if this is your very first time calling into Blog Talk Radio, I can assure you it does not happen like this. Actually, I don't think I've ever had a weather-related problem, but then again, that's out of my control. But you can join me every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, where I will have a wonderful lineup of experts who will share resources, stories, and answer your burning genealogy questions. Now, all of my guests share a deep passion and knowledge of genealogy and history. If you have logged in as a guest and wish to participate in the chat, you can sign in through your Facebook account or Blog Talk Radio. I will also open the lines in the second half of the show so that you can ask questions of the guests. Now, following the show, you can continue this discussion on the Genealogy and History Forum of Afrogenius.com. Also, all of my shows are available as a podcast immediately after the broadcast, and you can also download the show from iTunes. Well, the topic for tonight's show is on becoming a professional genealogist. And my guest, Lisa B. Lee, will explore when your excitement and love of genealogy moves you to the next level to become a professional. Professional genealogist Lisa B. Lee is owner of GotGenealogy.com, and this is a website designed to help genealogists make the most of their online searches. Lisa speaks and she conducts workshops at genealogical societies and conferences in the U.S. and Canada. And so I'm looking forward to having Lisa on. And Lisa, I know you must be there. Are you? So let's just start. How and why did you get involved in genealogical research?
Well, back in 1970, Alex Haley came to my high school. And that same year he was on a speaking tour. He ended up in Chicago a couple of weeks later, and that's when Tony Burrows saw him, and that's when he got bit. So that one tour that Alex Haley made, this is before Roots came out, before he had published a book and before the miniseries came out several years earlier. And I just sat there. I was in ninth grade, and my civics teacher took us to this assembly, and I sat there listening to him talk about how he had been able to trace his family back all the way to the specific tribe in Dufferay where he had originated. And I was just dumbfounded. I couldn't believe that was possible. Just blew me away.
So, I bet you it did.
Yeah, absolutely. And
okay.
So I didn't have any, 14 years old. I just started contacting all my living relatives and sending letters and say, well, can you tell me about the family history? And I got a really great response. So that's how I got started.
That's wonderful. And, you hear so many people who will, reference back to Haley and what happened and Roots. And so you're just kind of following that train of thought. That's where you got your inspiration.
Yeah, his birthday is Saturday, by the way.
Oh,
he was born
okay.
in 1921, and so his birthday will be August 11th, 1921. How many years is that? Somebody can tell me. Saturday is his birthday.
Saturday is his birthday. Well, happy birthday. Okay, so we're talking about professional genealogy. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean to be a professional?
Well, for some, it means a lot of different things. some people say that it means that you're getting paid, and other people think that money doesn't really have to be involved in order for you to become a professional. I think more than anything, it's a way that you look at yourself. It's a mindset. So the minute that you start to consider yourself a professional genealogist, you're turning up the notch. You're turning the throttle up and stepping up your game and saying, the stuff that I used to do may have worked, but I can do better. I can be more thorough. I can be more consistent with my sources. I can make sure that I don't jump to conclusions, that I more thoroughly research my sources, that I do a better job of communicating the information that I have and analyzing the data. So the minute you decide that you are a professional, whether you're getting paid or not, it really changes the way you look at things. And the things you look at change, you know.
Right. So you're saying it's a mindset.
It really
so
is.
So it's not, this is how much I'm going to make doing this. This is how I view myself and the role that I have chosen to place myself, and that is of a professional.
Quite honestly, there are some quote-unquote professional genealogists out there that don't have any business calling themselves genealogists, and I'm not going to mention any names, but I bet you everybody listening knows at least one person that when they think about or they've seen this person's work, they shudder to think that this person, one, considers him or herself a professional, or two, has the nerve to charge money for what they do.
Well, you're right. Perhaps there is someone that others can think of. However, let's talk about the distinction between a hobbyist and a professional.
Okay. Well, a hobbyist is one who, just like all of us, we're driven to do what we do. And you may have a whole lot of files and books and documents, and you may have a whole office in your home that's dedicated to nothing but genealogy. A professional is going to take that, though, and be thinking of it from the standpoint of a business and possibly even start working on a business plan. That's something I really recommend everyone to do. But more than that, I'm going to be doing a lot better job of keeping track of research hours, keeping track of expenses. Say your local genealogy society asks you to come by and teach a class on such and such. Well, you know, I do freebies. I don't like to do freebies, but I do freebies from time to time, especially if they're genealogy societies that are near and dear to my heart. And even if it's a freebie, I'm going to keep track of my mileage. I'm going to keep track of my time, and I'm going to, what I do after I do any event, whether I'm being paid or not, I just type up a one-page document that lists the event, where it was, how much mileage I spent getting there, if there were any parking or toll fees, any money that I collected, if I sold any T-shirts or whatever. And then I keep the net profit or loss, and I just stick it in my file with the rest of my documents so that at the end of the year when I get ready to do my taxes, now I've got a very, it doesn't have to be anything extensive, but a very methodical way of keeping track of how much my time is worth.
That's right.
And having been audited by the IRS once because of my genealogy, that was one thing that they told me, that if you don't do anything else, if you keep good records, you're 90% of the way there. So
certainly. And you're saying if you're going to do some pro bono work, you still want to be able to document the amount of time that you spent in that pro bono work, because it does add up, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah, so, and one of the first things you want to do, even before you step out, or even before you tell anybody that you're becoming a professional, I would recommend that one of the first things you do is to join the Association of Professional Genealogists. The appgen.org, I think, is the website, and, hold on, I'm trying to multitask here. And the great thing about joining the Association of Professional Genealogists is if you join at a
the website has been put up on in the chat room.
Oh, good. But if you have the different levels of that you can join, And if you join on the basic level, that's fine. I mean, that's good to be there. But if you join on the professional level, then you get, as a professional member, it's $65 a year versus $35 a year as a subscriber. You get to list yourself in their directory. And so people who are looking for professional genealogists who go to the site can find you and find what your areas of expertise are. Oh, good, I see somebody put it up. Yes, Family
right.
Tree Girl, I love APG, great resource. It is a great resource.
Right, and not only that, but you do have a code of ethics.
Yeah.
You will definitely see as part of the Association of Professional Genealogists.
And more than that, you're surrounding yourself now with a whole lot of people who have also stepped up their game, who subscribe to this code of ethics, that are very consistent in the way that they go about things and the way they represent genealogy as a whole. So by surrounding yourself with people who have chosen this as a profession and really doing the work to be the best they can be, it's going to influence you and going to help you meet more people and get more opportunities to do more things. For an example, because I was an APG member, when Ancestry.com opened up their product they used to have called Expert Connect, when you could hire an expert to do your genealogy. When Expert Connect started, I think, what year was that? This is 2012. I guess 2008 or 29. They opened it up first to APG members. So we were the first experts on Expert Connect just because we were APG members.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a nice little benefit. So I got an opportunity to do research for people all over the world who hired me on behalf of Ancestry. And it gave me a chance to really stretch my wings and get into some areas that I may not have been as strong in, but I wanted to do more research in. And had I not been an APG member, I wouldn't have been able to get in on the ground floor. Now, we know Expert Connect was suddenly yanked from under us. They scuttled the whole thing, which is a topic for another day. But it was a great product, and I'm sorry that they got rid of it.
Right. So this is clearly an organization that professionals would want to definitely be a part of.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So when did you personally transition from the hobbyist to the professional?
Well, I did it slowly. I started off in 2005, which is, 7 years ago? Is when I reserved the domain gotgenealogy.com. I literally woke up like 2 in the morning, and it dawned on me because Got Milk was real popular. I said, God, I wonder if anybody's got Genealogy. And I went to NetSol, and it was available, and I said, oh, my God. So I got gotgenealogy.com, .net, and .org, and then I sat on them for a couple of years. I didn't do anything with it, but they were mine.
Yes.
And so that was the first step. And I think I was already an APG member at the time, and little by little I was trying to figure out what is it that I want to do. And I knew that I loved writing, and I wanted to share my expertise of being a computer nerd for over 20 years with my love of genealogy and show people that there's some really neat tricks that you can do in your searching and other things to help find people that you can't normally find. And I ended up doing a lot of consulting work with Ancestry as a result. I would write in my newsletter about some of the latest boo-boos or bloopers that I called them for Ancestry, and they would contact me and say, hey, we fixed this one, and we figured try this one. And it's funny because I was at the Jamboree in Burbank in June, and I stopped by the Ancestry booth, and I was talking to one of my Ancestry buddies. And she was saying, oh, let me show you this new feature, Lise. I'm like, that's part of the new search. And I never used the new search on Ancestry. I always use the old.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, why do you use the old? And I told her, well, when I was an expert on Expert Connect, when I would call in the expert line where the experts could call in for technical support, the first thing they'd always ask me was, are you using the new search or the old? And I said, I'm using the old. They say, good. Because they didn't use it either. So anyway, she's showing me this feature. I said, okay, let me see if I can do that in the old. And sure enough, every time I do it in the old, it would break Ancestry. She says, oh, it's not supposed to do that. I said, no, I try her new one. And so she'd show me these features that didn't work in the new search, but they worked in the old. And, I mean, Ancestry has a great product, and they keep messing with it. And so one of the reasons that I wanted to do my newsletter so I could show people. Everybody gets frustrated with Ancestry. We love Ancestry.com, and we hate Ancestry.com. So here, let me show you how I do it, and how I found a way around it. And so the newsletter was a great success, and then I started charging people an annual fee to have access to the newsletter. And I actually was making pretty decent money, but sometimes life happens. And,
certainly.
Yeah. I ended up in a really bad marriage, and I won't say anything other than it kind of killed me inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to just kind of pull away and hibernate for a while. So the newsletters lapsed, and I just, for this year, I said, hey, gotgenealogy.com is totally free. I'm transitioning it to a whole different model. But for right now, any information that's up there is free. All my videos, my newsletters, handouts, anything that's up there, you can have it. Because right now I've got to rebuild me from the inside. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot
yeah.
of sense. But, you know, it also sounds like you began a business based upon a need that you
yeah.
saw. And from mm-hmm. that need, you created a product. And this is something that we're going to talk about a little bit more. But, yes, it is wonderful that you have chosen that there was a point in time in your life where you just couldn't keep the business the way you wanted
yeah.
it, and
right.
you offered it. And so everyone else benefited, and I'm sure that you also will benefit from what you did. But we're going to take a quick break because I want to now move into a whole new part of this discussion about when were you really ready to make that transition. And then we're going to talk about certification and accreditation
uh-huh.
and all
mm-hmm.
those fancy letters. So
good.
Let's just take a quick break and then come right back, okay?
Excellent, excellent.
Okay. National Archives and Beyond Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Bernice Alexander Bennett, and you have been listening to Lisa B. Lee. Now, Lisa has already given us a piece of why she started genealogy, what it means to be a professional, when she came up with what inspired her to come up with Got Genealogy, and now we're going to continue to talk about, well, when did she know she was ready to make that transition? So, Lisa, back to you.
Well, you know, I had seen a lot of people that had all the fancy letters after their names, the CG and the AG and the FUGA and all this other stuff, and
mm-hmm.
At the time, quite honestly, I was the president of the California State Genealogical Alliance, and it's like the FGS on a state level.
Mm-hmm.
And all of my board members were CGs, but me. And even though I was leading the group we're trying to lead, and I was also on the board of the California Genealogical Society, I always felt somewhat inadequate. Because I didn't have those special letters after my name.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a lot of research and looked into what was going to be best for me. And so I decided to start on my CG and my PLCGS. And I started on them about the same. No, I think I started the PLCGS first and then started on the CG.
Okay.
So the PLCGS, Professional Learning Certificate in Genealogical Studies. This is a certificated course of study offered by the National Institute for Genealogical Studies that's part of University of Toronto. And the director is a very good friend of mine, Louise Saint-Denis, in Toronto. And even though it's based in Canada, they offer certificates in Irish, which I have, Scottish, German, American, Canadian, lots of different topics. I don't have the website is genealogicalstudies.org, I believe is what it is. Maybe somebody can pull it up. And what the great thing about NIGS, National Institute of Genealogical Studies, is that you can go in and take one course. Like, say, I just need to brush up on my Canadian military history. Or you can take a whole series of classes to get a certificate. And that's what I did. So I ended up with the U.S., Canadian, Irish, and general methodology. And what the great thing about it was a lot of the classes I took, getting my PLCGS helped prepare me to then do my CG work, my certified genealogist work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so the CG and the AG, the accredited genealogists, they're offered by two different organizations. I'm not going to get into which one is better because everybody has their opinion. And there are some people who have fancy numbers, fancy letters after their name, who, in my opinion, aren't great genealogists, and a whole lot of people who don't have them who are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a personal thing. And I think that any education you take, any classes you take, are only going to make you better. So
that's
whether
right.
you go all the way through and get the certificate or not, keep taking the classes. I know Boston University has a series of classes. I don't recommend them because I think their classes are too expensive. It's not, you know, if you like Boston, you fine. I just think the classes are way, way too expensive. There are some free classes online. I think NGS has some. Brigham Young has some. I know Karen Clifford down in Monterey, California, has some classes that she's teaching. There are a lot of places you can go to get training.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you attend some of these conferences, these like 1 hour, 2 hour workshops are nice, but there's nothing like having an intensive 5, 6, 10, 12 week course. So I really think that for me, not having those letters after my name was a really motivating factor for me. So once
okay.
I got into the classes and I really saw just how much was going to be required of me, it was humbling because even though I was good, now I'm oh so much better.
Yes.
Oh,
and
so
don't
much
you
better.
Think everyone goes through that process
mm-hmm.
though? I mean,
mm-hmm.
you feel you're good. But then you do realize that there's always something to learn. You don't know everything.
Okay. Yeah, so
okay.
anyway, so when I decided to really step up my game, then I realized how far I had to go.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I had been doing this for decades, I was kind of like just scratching the surface. And I had to, like, put on my all-weather gear and my goggles and my rain boots and a shovel and start digging and
mm-hmm.
digging and really get into it and really see how much more there was to learn. And it was, and that was more exciting because then I could say, oh, I see this now. And when I had a really difficult course and I figured it out, now this is a topic for me to write about. This is something that I can share with others.
Yes.
So as
yes.
I went through this discovery, and I can say a lot of people are intimidated by computers. I'm not. Well, maybe I can use my familiarity with computers to explain a difficult subject and make it simple. So, and that followed into the videos. Like one of my favorite ones is consanguinity, and I try to
yes.
get my videos short and sweet,
mm-hmm.
and explaining how you figure out how two people are related to one another and how they're related to a common ancestor, and you try to use that stupid chart that somebody came up with that crosses, and it just makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, it doesn't have to be so difficult. So you're right. I discovered a need, but the bigger need was my desire to be of service to others.
Okay.
And that's pretty much why we do what we do.
Right. And would you say that's where a lot of the genealogists the need to move from one level to the other or put yourself in the teaching role or the helping role comes
mm-hmm.
from wanting to that having that strong desire to help
mm-hmm.
others?
Yeah, I really think that when you do the work you love, the money will come.
Yeah.
And when I see genealogists who are only in it for the money, and there are a couple out there, then I'm not saying that they're not good at what they do, but their motivation is strictly financial. And I just kind of sit back and I think to myself, I wonder how 5 years from now if they'll still even be on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're doing this because we're trying to tell the ancestor stories.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing this because the ancestors keep tapping us on the shoulder and say, come on, come on, come on, it's time to work on the Yanceys now, it's time to work on the Raglans, whatever. We do this because we don't have a choice. So if you're, we want to make money, we want to be able to support ourselves, there's nothing wrong with that. But we got to keep our focus on where it needs to be, on telling
right.
the stories.
And, I mean, there is a reality associated with genealogy. Wouldn't you say it is a costly endeavor? It does not come cheap.
It's not cheap. Mm-mm.
It is not cheap. So if an individual is in the business and they have the passion to help someone else, then they should be compensated for what they know.
But at the same token, Bernice, genealogy is extremely cheap. I can go to my public library and get on Ancestry for free. I can
mm-hmm.
go to my public library or log in from home to Heritage Quest for free. There's RootsWeb. There's a whole lot of genealogical societies that are putting stuff up there, not to mention what the Mormons are doing. And, yes, there's a whole lot of stuff out there, and I think people deserve to be compensated. But when you compare it to other, quote-unquote, hobbies, that are a lot more expensive, you get a much bigger bang for your buck at a genealogical website than you will probably anything else. And if
Absolutely.
We keep it in perspective, then Ancestry's cost me, what, less than a dollar a day?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can sit here in my underwear 3 o'clock in the morning and find my great-great-grandmother. I mean, where else can I do that?
But one of the points that you've made, though, is that there has to be some teaching and some learning. Because in order for any individual to be able to access those even free resources, they have to know where those resources are located. Then they have to know how to access them appropriately to make them work for them. And people like you and others who have that passion and desire to teach are the people who we need to have out there
yeah.
helping
that,
others
that's
and
true.
Getting
now,
compensated for it.
Now, when we talk about compensation, and you told me not to look at the board, but someone's made a point that I do have to address. And for people that are trying to break into the clique, to try to get into the events and the conferences, to be able to be allowed to present, especially if they don't have any experience, and a lot of times even if they do. There is racism in genealogy. No two ways about it. And I brought this point up at the Jamboree just in June, that of the 68 speakers there, I was the only black speaker. And I felt that as many black and brown and people of color as there are in Southern California, why is it that of the 68 speakers chosen to speak, and there were multiple workshops, how come only one was black? And some people were offended by it, and I probably have blacklisted myself as a result, because there are probably some groups that don't want to work with me now because I brought it up. But at the same time, a lot of white attendees came up to me and shook my hand and said, thank you for saying what I've been thinking for a long, long time. When
mm-hmm.
we go to the national conferences, we're like, where are the black folks?
Mm-hmm.
Where are the people of color? How come there are so few? And so what they want to do is just say, okay, well, we'll do a track. We'll do an African-American genealogy track. Well, that's not what we're asking for. We're not saying that because we're black, we can only be experts in black genealogy.
That's right. That's right.
We have ancestors.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And it doesn't matter who our ancestors are. It matters who my clients are.
Mm-hmm.
It matters what I choose to spend my time becoming an expert in. And because I have a certificate in Irish genealogical studies, I'm qualified to do Irish research, and I do Irish research for clients all the time. I just had a client that I did the research for in Brazil. I'd never done any Brazil research before, and my Portuguese is not fluent, but it's good enough that I could go through these old church records and translate them and try to find the family. It's about stretching yourselves and not settling for what they want to give you.
But also you're saying your skills and talents has nothing to do with your racial identity.
Bingo.
And that's what you're basically communicating, that you have the skills, you have the ability to do research everywhere.
It doesn't
matter.
You know,
I can tell people I walked through the cemeteries in Slovakia.
Right.
Yes, I did. Uh-huh. So it has absolutely nothing to do with your racial identity. And so not what we're talking about. We're talking about your skills.
But getting out there, you may in the beginning as a professional, a new professional, have to do a lot of freebies or have to keep your speaker's fee way down, or you may have to, you know, give away a lot of your knowledge in the beginning until people – I wrote a lot of articles, and I was published in Family Tree Magazine and different places, and those are generally – they're unsolicited letters or whatever – and they generally don't compensate you until you get name recognition, but it's a good way to get noticed. I was at the Art and Soul Festival in Oakland this past weekend, and I ran into the publisher of a local black newspaper. He says, "Oh, Lisa, I need you to write some articles for me." And I've been thinking about it. Yeah, I would love to. It's on my list of things to do. And that's another one there. Yeah, I'm not going to get compensated for it, but it's two part. First, I'm sharing the information with his readers. And it's more getting your name out and getting the name recognition, and you're just kind of blanketing the world with the fact that you're out there and that you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So a big part of being a professional genealogist is you're going to have to write a lot. And your writing skills have to be stellar. And if they're not, there are a lot of websites online where they can give you guidance and tests and documents that you can edit and whatnot to help you get to the point where you can write better, where you can speak better. Now, I think that I write too conversationally. I know I don't write as formally as I was taught to write, but I've been told by a lot of people that that's one thing they enjoy most about me is that I do write like I'm talking to you. And as a result, people relate to my newsletters and my things better than if I was more formal. But that works for me. It may not work for you.
But that's your voice.
Yes,
and
my
if that's your voice, then that's what people want to hear. So no one is telling you to turn around and become a carbon copy of another professional genealogist. You have to be the genealogist that you are.
Mm-hmm.
So the question that I have for you, and it's actually a question coming out of the chat, and it's what are some of the challenges you feel that a professional genealogists experience and just trying to break through and to move to the next level?
Well, on two points. First, from a financial business standpoint, you need to figure out where do you fit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you just want to do private research for private individuals? Do you want to get on a speaking tour? Do you want to be a blogger that's one of the people that anytime a genealogy topic comes up on the news, you're one of the people they go to? Like anytime there's anything that happens in genealogy, who's the first person they call? Whether the people are black and white, who do they call? They call Megan. Megan's paid her dues. She's a great genealogist. She's a wonderful person. I'm not hating. She did her work. Now she's a spokesperson for Ancestry. Good for her. Wonderful for her. She's found a place where she fits.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean there isn't room for another person just like that or several other people like that. So you're going to have to determine what excites you, what floats you, but where do you want to fit in? George Dieter, my darling friend from, I see he's online, from Oakland. Now he's living in, Podunk, Arizona or whatever. No, New Mexico. I'm sorry, George. What he does with photographs and how, you know, he was on History Detectives and, you know, he's done a wonderful service in spreading his expertise his way. And it's a very unique voice that he has, and nobody else has that voice. And I'm so glad that George is there and does what he does. And then I look at darling Angela, and I look at so many, Angela Walton Raji. You know, everybody knows who I'm talking about. And
yeah.
The people in D.C. doing that, there are just so many people that you think of, Reggie Washington at the NARA, all these people who have found their place in the world and where they fit in. So as a budding professional, you need to just look, just dream big and say, well, I'd like to do this, and start thinking about a business plan and how you can get to that place and the steps you need to take to get there.
It sounds like you're saying, okay, what's the unmet need and what's your niche, and can you meet that?
Yes. Now, one thing that I do, at the Jamboree, I presented how to become a professional genealogist, and the videotape is up on my website. Or I think it's up on Vimeo, vimeo.com. You can do a search for God Genealogy. And one of the things I spend a lot of time talking about is what's your niche. And you can have more than one niche. And you really need to become an expert in at least one area. And it's better if you, I think it's better if you have more. And to say that, you know, I am the expert in Leon County, Texas. There's nobody else who knows Leon County, Texas as well as I do. Well, fine. Then you create a website, you create a blog, you start writing, you start just blanketing the airwaves with the fact that you are the go-to person for Leon County, Texas.
That's right.
Because, like, if any time I have a client who wants research in Mississippi, I'm like, oh, God. I'm not a fan of Mississippi research. You know, there are some states I love, and Mississippi is not one of them. But
that's,
I know,
right, but there's somebody out there. There's somebody out there in Mississippi
somebody
knows that
expert.
About it.
And well, I'm more than happy to pay them to do that.
That's right. Well,
so,
I'm going to give you a little break. I'm going to give you a break, and we're going to come back in a few seconds because we're going to continue this discussion, okay?
Okay, darling.
National Archives and Beyond Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Bernice Bennett, and you have been listening to Lisa B. Lee. Now, if you would like to ask a question or make a comment, please call 646-200-0491 and press 1 to speak to the host. That's 646-200-0491 and press 1 to speak to the host. Well, Lisa, let's explore that advice. Let's just look at some of the advice you want to just give to people, you know, when they're thinking of moving to the next level. And before you even do that, say, just tell us, when do you know you're ready?
Well, I think even before you think you're ready, you're probably ready.
Okay.
Because we tend to doubt ourselves a lot, especially I think black women tend to, you know, we've fallen prey to a lot of stupid stuff, and we tend to not give ourselves as much credit as we deserve. So even before you think you're ready, I would start working on a name for your business, a name for how you want people to, like, you know, identify you and think, oh, like, God Genealogy is mine. Nobody can have that now. But there's something else out there. And so find a name, see if the domain is available, grab it, grab the .com, the .net, the .org at least, because I would really hate for me to be godgenealogy.com and somebody snaps up godgenealogy.org and then they do other things with it and then it causes confusion. So get those three. Even if you don't use those other two, just sit on them. Just make sure that they belong to you.
Mm-hmm.
I would start if I were you, I'd purchase The Right Brain Business Plan. It's a wonderful book written by a woman from Oakland named Jennifer Lee. No, we're not related. But The Right Brain Business Plan is a really easy, fun way for you to come up with a business plan that's going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, it's like a $20 book. You can get it on Amazon, and it's a great tool. And then sign up for some classes. Start speaking. If you want to be on the speaking tour, volunteer to speak at some of the local societies in your area, your local society or maybe some others that are nearby, you know, for free, just to get out there and with the understanding that you'd like them to critique you when you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the ability to have it videotaped, it doesn't have to be anything fancy, somebody just standing there with a camera. And, you know, there are little things that you can start doing to help you hone your skills. Start
mm-hmm.
writing articles that you want to send off to magazines and newspapers and have someone critique them and edit them for you. We've got a really big community. Genealogists are such a sharing bunch of folks. And anytime I see somebody on the Ancestry's web forum saying, I put my family tree up on such and such, and my cousin took it down, and she passed out the family reunion, and I didn't even get credit. You know, I'm like, who cares? I mean, if the information is correct, we just want the family stories to be told. Who cares whose name is on it? You know, so we're a really sharing bunch of people. So if you ask for help, especially on a site like AfroGenius.com, you're going to get it. And there are a lot of people out there that really want you to be successful.
Right, right. Well, you also mentioned something else, and this is probably back to this discussion about speaking at professional conferences. Sometimes maybe you need to just start speaking at your local conferences and your
exactly.
state conferences. If you can get in, get the word out, though, that you are capable of doing this. But I would say also take every opportunity, even if it means, yes, coming on Blog Talk Radio and making this a platform, because your voice is out there. And others can hear how you put together concepts, how you communicate those concepts. So this is a wonderful platform for individuals who are professional genealogists.
It
get
really
your
is.
Name out there.
Now, I was once planning a genealogy conference, a West Coast Summit, and we asked for call for papers. And we specifically said we want papers for people who have never done any public genealogy speaking before.
Mm-hmm.
And one lady sent in this submission. It was terrible. And I took the time to respond to her and explain to her why she wouldn't be considered. And I said, this is a sample of what a good submission looks like, because I was trying to help her.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have liked, I've submitted to so many, you know, the national ones, and certain regional ones that are, and year after year, you know, they just summarily dismiss. If you've never spoken there before, you can't get in. And they say, oh, I'll send us a tape, whatever. But it would be so nice if someone would take the time and say, hey, Lisa, we really would have liked to have awarded this to you. However, blah, 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 blah. So I think if we are in the situation that we can help somebody else improve their skills, we need to take that opportunity every chance we get.
Right. Not only that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But you also, I mean, bringing up something about there's a need for mentorship. Because so many people perhaps don't know how to submit a
yes.
succinct proposal to give a presentation mm-hmm. when the guidelines call for 100 words.
Oh,
or
no, 25 words.
And so there's not a whole lot you
mm-mm.
can say that will grab someone's attention to say, perhaps we should bring that person on board.
So what the organizers end up doing is they just keep hiring the same people that they know year after year after year, and the conferences become more and more stale. I mean, I go to some of these events and the people are talking in a monotone and the slides are really boring and da-da-da-da-da-da and save all your questions till the end. There's no interaction between, you know, and you sit there and you go to sleep. And I think that...
Well, and that's a whole nother, I mean, just,
yeah.
just presentation skills.
Yeah, presentation skills.
And there needs to be perhaps training on how to present. Because, yes, it is quite boring to attend a conference and watch someone read the slides to you when basically you are beyond their slides because you can read faster than they can speak or they can read to you. But once again, the need for mentorship, the need for training and assistance is something that perhaps needs to be talked about more and more and more. We need to mentor each other and support each other. And you're right, giving feedback as to why your paper was not accepted is a learning opportunity for you to improve it so that when you resubmit, you know that you have done exactly what will make your proposal a winning proposal.
Yeah,
if indeed
and that
that's
lady that I
the issue.
That lady that I sent the letter back to, I never heard back from her. I don't know what happened. I don't know how she received it. I meant it with love, and I took great care to make sure that it my wording, my voice sounded very loving and supportive, but I never heard back from her. So I don't know what happened with that. But I still think I did the right thing. And I wish that we would all try to do this because, you know, each one teach one.
Each one teach one. Well, there's a comment coming up, coming out of the chat, and it says, well, what is the best format for training?
I think hands-on is always best. And because it's nice to sit there in the cattle calls, as I refer to these conferences, you sit in these rooms for an hour and then you go to the next for an hour. And even if you're enthused and excited by a topic, by the time you get back home 2 or 3 days later, you've forgotten a lot of it.
Yes.
And it would be so nice to be able to have these conferences where you've got hands-on and say, okay, everybody, let's take a look at this, blah, 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 blah. And so you've got the motor action of your fingers that's actually going and it's making a bigger, deeper connection with your mind, and you're actually able to see, okay, now you try it with your own family. Let's do this search here. Everybody's got here somebody that they can't find. Now try this search technique that I just gave you. See what you come up with. Oh, I see. Oh, you know, and I think there's nothing like hands-on. So I wish that the conferences, because I think in their current form, most of these genealogical conferences, I think they're dinosaurs. I think that, well, because webinars and blog talk radios and a lot of these other people doing videos and a lot of these things are a lot cheaper and you can get a lot more in-depth. I think coming together in these annual conferences are expensive and time-consuming, and I think the benefit is marginal at best in some instances. Now, it's always nice to meet people in the flesh, but at the same time, how can you justify spending hundreds, thousands of dollars going thousands of miles for something that you could have done from home on your computer for an hour, you know?
Right. And what you're doing, though, you're talking about, well, how do we engage the adult learner in an activity where there is a defined behavior so that once they have gone to a it's beyond presentation because presentation is just somebody telling you something. You're saying, let's interact. Let's move beyond the show and tell and help me determine how can I best take what I have heard and then make it make sense for me with my own family or with other clients that I'm working with. So you're moving kind of beyond the this is what I found, and that's the end of it. It's how can you find it too and help them walk through that whole skills process.
So when I see these topics at these workshops where someone is going through a case study of how I found my such-and-such grandmother, those have no appeal to me at all. There's no personal connection.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to just to sit back and watch how she found Grandma Fanny, or great-grandma Fanny in, you know, Buckingham County, Virginia, because the courthouse had been burned during the Civil War or whatever, that's one I'm not going to be interested in. Now, some people will. I would much rather see a topic based on how to deal with burned courthouses in general.
Yes.
And then we can look at, okay, now. And so those people who have family who came from those areas are going to be, this is going to be more general instead of just one small family. Let's look at the broader topic and how we can hone it in to meet our own needs.
And
so
that's,
I think,
just
that
a challenge. That's a challenge for all of the quote institutions or the conferences or the societies to determine, you know, when we come together as an association, and I'm just speaking generically, what is the end product? What's the goal? Mm-hmm. Is it networking? Is that why people are coming together? Is it for you to showcase your skills, or is it for you to teach people to be able to go home and then do something? So I think they have to define just what it's all about, because we're back to becoming a professional genealogist.
And see, that's going to be part of when you start working on your business plan. You've determined that your niches are North Carolina, Delaware, South Dakota, and Nevada. Those are your four niches. You are an expert in those four states because you just know them backwards and forward. Fine. And you started working out to try to figure out, okay, I need to make $10,000 a month. That's my target, and whether it's going to be from ebook sales or I'm going to sell T-shirts or I'm going to be speaking at conferences, I got a subscription-based website, I'm going to be doing private research, I'm going to be being paid for my articles, I'm going to be writing for the New York Times or the Huffington Post, whatever. You've got all these different sources of income covered with your business plan. And then now you've decided, okay, now I need this additional training because I need to get these letters after my name. And now I also need to do some networking, so I'm going to strategically attend the FGS or the NGS because I need to meet this person, and that person because I want to pick their brains and I want them to get to know me too, blah, blah, blah. So you're starting to look at it from a very different point of view. And in the meantime, someone says, oh, Lisa, can you do my research? Sure. How much do you charge? Yeah, I'll do that on the side. That's easy. But you see, it's as you become professional, your whole mindset is going to change. So you're looking at, yes, we love doing this, but now we love doing it because it's going to have a much broader impact and it's going to change a lot more lives.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, we're moving from the – let's move a little bit from the business plan because that is so essential to how do you inform others that you have a business? I mean, what are some of the basic marketing strategies that a professional genealogist would use to get the name out there? And you did mention giving presentations and writing articles, but just how would people know about this?
One thing I did when I first started, I just had my business cards printed up, and I went around to all the libraries and museums, you know, all the places where people stack business cards up, to the taco, the burrito shop, the cleaners. I was sticking my business cards everywhere. And for me, that was my low-budget marketing, but I did get a few clients like that. I know people think that is too funny, but that's okay if you're going to start small. There are a lot of ways that you can use Facebook and Twitter and blogs for marketing, and I'm not going to teach you that tonight because you can go and do a search for how to use Facebook for marketing. There are a lot of classes, online classes that are free to teach you how to do that, how you can bring people to your Facebook page, how you can bring people to your website. Now, I was a very late adopter when it came to Facebook. I'm like, I don't have time to do Facebook. I'm too busy being a professional genealogist and doing research. That's fluey. That's poo-poo. But what I didn't realize was that people will spend much more time every day on Facebook than they will on your website.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to bring your website to Facebook.
To Facebook.
And Twitter and LinkedIn and the other places. So if you don't have a professional presence on Facebook and Twitter, you're really losing out. So what I'm talking about is a separate page, because you'll see my Lisa B. Lee page on Facebook. And I also have a Got Genealogy page. And as I said, just like the website, it's kind of on hold this year, getting over. You know, I got beat up pretty badly in my divorce. I mean, no two words about it. I got beat up pretty badly. So I'm just kind of putting the pieces back together and getting my get my groove back.
Okay.
So by the end of this year.
Okay, that's all right. You're getting there.
exactly, running on all cylinders, you know. And
okay.
then, you know, so anyway, so that's a really easy way to do it. E-book is another great way. There's a really excellent way. There's a course online that you can take on how to write an e-book in a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
E-books, they don't have to be more than, say, 20, 30 pages. You can write on one specific topic. I want to talk about the best way to find to get your hand on marriage records that are only available if you're a family member, something like that, in the state of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can write an e-book about that, quick 20 pages, and so you stick it up online, and then people are paying you for each download. There are a lot of little ways that you can do this. You put this up on Facebook, you put it up on your blog. There's so many ways that you can take advantage of it. Putting together anytime Black History Month rolls around, I've done different events for some of the Wells Fargo Bank has a fairly large community development fund, and they've given genealogical societies donations, and they've hosted events and whatnot. So every time around October, November, I just send them an email, say, hey, I'm available if you have any events coming up. And those are always freebies for me. But anytime Wells Fargo is going to have an event that has anything to do with genealogy, bam, I'm their go-to person. Okay,
that's right.
We got this. Okay, so I'm just offering my services. So so there are Target is another one, has a great community development fund. There's some others out there. I mean, you guys, you see where I'm going with this. We're looking at corporate donations. We're looking at people that are, anytime you see a genealogical event or event that has to do with education, you look at this list of sponsors, Kaiser Permanente, Clorox, Coca-Cola, blah, 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 blah. You might want to think about going to these major sponsors and say, hey, this is what I do. I would like to help you present a family history fair or whatever. You see, there's just so much you can do out there.
That's
thinking
right.
Outside the box, get creative.
That's
you're
right.
Only limited by your own imagination, but you guys know that already, right?
Yes, but it's good to say it. You know, we had a show two shows back, Thinking Outside of the Box, and so you're right. You have to get creative,
mm-hmm.
get your name out there. And if it means you have to do your pro bono, you are the
mm-hmm.
go-to person.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what you're telling people. You need to do that. Well, let's talk about, we're getting ready to wrap up this show, but have you encountered any surprises on your journey to become a professional genealogist?
Surprises in a lot of different ways. One big surprise for me was when I submitted my CG submission back in 2005, and it was denied. And I didn't expect that because I knew in my mind I was a CG. And so I won't go into the long story about what happened. Suffice it to say that all three judges have to agree. One judge ripped me a new hole, and just that was the end of that. And so since then, I decided to try again, and I'm still in the process of working on my resubmission, and I'm working on it. I just haven't had a whole lot of time. But that was a big surprise, and it knocked me down a couple of pegs. It was humbling. And on the bright side, though, I do see when I look at my original submission from 2005 just how much better I am now. Because I continued my training, and I continued to work, and I continued to make myself better. So it may have delayed it, but the CG is a done deal as far as I'm concerned. Had surprises in terms of some of the I know how this sounds, but I've had much better success working with white organizations than I have with black. And that was a surprise and a disappointment.
Mm-hmm. And when you say success, how are you defining that?
In terms of being offered speaking engagements.
Okay.
The amount of pay I'm offered, being asked to come back again and again, the response, the way I was treated. Not across the board. There have been some really great black organizations with whom I've worked, and I can't thank them enough. But in general, maybe I shouldn't have gone there. You hear what I'm saying.
Well,
you hear what I'm going
with that. You know, the most important point, though, is that you mentioned that you didn't say no to a negative.
No.
That, yes, it may have knocked you down, but you continued. You continued on the road to perfect your skill. And so that's what it's all about, because it is sometimes extremely difficult when you feel that you're ready. And you really felt that you were ready for that certification. You submitted your documentation. You had a panel of judges, and they gave you feedback, and it surprised you.
Well, two of the judges thought I walked on water.
Okay.
And the third judge thought I was a moron. And for me to let that one judge change the rest of my life and for me to give up because one lady didn't like the way I did something, that would have been crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That was her opinion. That's fine. But that doesn't define who I am, because I know I'm better than that.
Right.
So,
and unfortunately, you know, people go through that.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, you know, trying to become a certified genealogist, and it could be something else. But you're not going to, everybody's not going to say you're fantastic, I guess. And so, but you're saying that one person still didn't steal your thunder to the point where you said, I'm giving up, I never want to do this again.
Yeah.
And you turned around and you looked back and you really looked at what you had written and you say, well, wait a minute, it wasn't as good as I thought it was.
Well, the one other surprise I had was when I did the genealogy of a friend of mine and I gave it to her for Christmas. And it was on her father's side of the family. She really didn't know anyone there because she had been raised by her stepdad. And when I gave it to her, she really wasn't interested in getting it because she had never known her father and her mother had just died. And the fact that her mother had left her father, she felt she was being untrue to her mother's memory by embracing her father's ancestry. You know, it's a whole lot of stuff. And then her older brother was saying, don't have anything to do with them. And, you know, they weren't there, whatever. And in the meantime, I had met all her siblings on Facebook, and they were delighted to have been found, and they couldn't wait to meet her. And that was a real surprise. But she had just been through the death of her mother and the death of their stepfather. It was just overwhelming, the grief. And that was a real surprise. And that caused me, for about 2 weeks, I kept questioning, why am I even doing this genealogy?
Mm-hmm.
I almost threw in the towel because of that, because I had hurt her so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to kind of, you know, shake it off and say, well, I did a good thing. I know it was a good thing. I'm sorry she didn't appreciate it, but it was still a good thing. We will all have those times where you question your own being, question, what is it? Why am I doing this?
Yes, yes. You're right. You will always have those points in your professional career where you're going to question something.
Oh, somebody wants to know how do you decide to charge clients? Because I know we're running out of time.
Well, we have two questions. One is, did you complete your business plan?
Yes,
and tips on completing your business plan, and the other is the choice. So let's talk about your business. Did you what are the tips on completing your business plan? And then
right
what kind of advice
plan,
did you
I'm
give
telling
people?
You, right brain business plan. You have got to get this book. I have done business plans before that were painful. Right Brain Business Plan is so much fun, and she does webinars and conference calls, and she provides a lot of support. So after you've bought the book, you know, she doesn't just, you know, throw you to the wolves. She continues to work with you, and she makes it in a very fun, graphical way so that when I decided to redesign GotGenealogy.com and make it totally different, probably I was looking at this fall, but maybe it's looking more like January. It's going to be totally different than it is now. The business model is changing dramatically. I use Right Brain Business Plan for that, so I cannot recommend that enough. As far as how much to charge, my general rate is $60 an hour. And depending upon whether they have more money or less, I may charge less, I may charge more. It just depends. But I try to hit $60 an hour. That's my rate. I think it's a very good rate. When I was first starting out, I was charging between $25 and $30 an hour. But then you always end up doing a lot more hours than you're charging for anyway.
Yes.
So if you charge more per hour, you're going to not lose as much money in the process. I would be curious to see how much others are charging. You guys want to own up or not?
Well, perhaps that's a whole nother show. Or we'll go to Association of Professional Genealogists and listen to some of the meetings that they have to talk about fees and how much they charge and the rationale mm-hmm. behind the pricing structure.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to end with what kind of parting advice would you give to anyone who's considering moving, transitioning to that level called professional genealogist?
I would first tell you to believe in yourself. Don't listen to anybody else. Know that you can do this. Know that the universe is here for your success, and that there is nothing you cannot do. You have to know this. And if you have to meditate or just write it out or journal, whatever you have to do to keep the positive little voice going in your head, do it. You
mm-hmm.
can do this.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing, realize that you can never stop learning. You can never know it all, and there's always going to be new resources, new databases, new ways to do things, so you always want to be hungry to learn more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing would be, let the focus of whatever you do be to be of service to others, and everything else will fall into place.
Wonderful, wonderful advice. Well, Lisa, thank you so very much for joining me tonight. Thank you for your patience as I went through all of the weather-related problems. And you have really just been a delight to have
on
the show. So thank you so very much.
Thank you, Bernice. Someone suggested I put a sample business plan up on gotgenealogy.com. That's a really good idea. I will do that. I'll do one. I won't do my final one, but I will put a sample business plan up on gotgenealogy. Give me a couple weeks to do it, but I will put it up there that will be there for free that you guys can just have and just see how simple it is to do.
Well, thank you. That's wonderful. And
my pleasure.
I'm sure everyone will look forward to seeing the sample business plan.
Wonderful.
Well, let me just tell everybody about next week's show.
Okay.
You know, as I said, this is a every Thursday at 9:00 show, and I'm going to have Dr. Joanna Mountain, and she's a geneticist with 23andMe. And the topic is ancestry, health, and DNA. So I hope that you all will all tune in. This is a 90-minute show. Come in with your questions. Get ready to learn. This is going to be an opportunity, and it's going to be a three-part show with part one focusing on just the vocabulary. Let's understand what we're talking about when we're talking about markers and mtDNA and yDNA and autosomal, and we're just going to make sense out of all of this so that we're all on the same vocabulary, using the same vocabulary. Then we're going to go into some of the elements involved in coming up with a haplogroup. What is a haplogroup? I mean, how are we talking about this? And then because this is 23andMe and they have a program called Roots into the Future, we're going to talk about just what is Roots into the Future and what have they found so far about health and race, and doesn't mean anything right now? Are they seeing any evidence that you have a higher incidence of diabetes and hypertension? Is it genetically linked or is it something else? So please join me next week, and we will have Dr. Joanna Mountain, a geneticist with 23andMe, discussing ancestry, health, and DNA. So good night, Lisa. And
Bernice, wait. It's your birthday,
isn't
it?
Oh, okay.
Are you a birthday girl today?
No. It was this week. Not today.
Okay.
But
well,
yes, I just did it.
Okay. Okay. Well, happy birthday. I hope you had a happy birthday, my darling.
Oh, yes, I did. I absolutely did. Okay.
Wonderful. Okay,
well, thank
sweetheart.
You for mentioning it. But I want everyone to remember your ancestors left footprints. Therefore, you should follow the clues that are presented through you through oral history, family records, research at the National Archives, and beyond. Now, you can continue this discussion on afrogenius.com at the Research and the Research and the National Archives and Beyond Facebook page. Also, remember to listen to African Roots Podcast with Angela Walton-Raji Friday morning. Okay, Angela, we will tune in to you. And then Nurturing Our Roots with Antoinette Harrell on Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And with Antoinette, it's all about the family. So thank you so much for joining Research at the National Archives and Beyond. This is your host, Bernice Alexander Bennett. Good night, and I look forward to you joining me next Thursday. Good night.